The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Monday, June 24th, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And of course, I'm your host, Ricky Scaparro, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome everybody to the program tonight. All of you guys on Apple, Spotify, you guys that are listening on wherever you get your podcast, we welcome you. You guys watching the visual of this by Rumble, YouTube, whatever visual platform you may be watching. Listen, do me a favor. If you're able to comment, let us know if this is your first time joining us. And let us know where you guys are joining us from. And I would love for everybody just to take about 2 seconds, smash the like button, hit that bell notification, hit the subscribe button. This is going to help us push our material out on these platforms. And it's going to help you stay informed of what we're putting out there and all of our information as well. And so we've got a lot to cover tonight. We've got, again, good news that I want to start with. This is really good news. This is something that I think we should all praise God for. We should celebrate this. I want to show you this. Again, if you guys are just tuning in, we've got a lot to cover tonight. So I'm going to ask that you just hang in there for a little bit, because we're going to talk about various topics and subjects that are trending right now. This first one is some good news. We want to start with that. The governor of Tennessee just signed a bill calling for 30 days of prayer and fasting beginning in the month of July. Again, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee has just signed a bill calling for 30 days of prayer and fasting beginning on the 1st of July in the Volunteer State. This resolution is asking the people of the state to, quote, seek God's hand of mercy and healing for the state of Tennessee. This is in what is being called and described as an historic gesture. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee has just signed this bill into place. Tennessee House Joint Resolution 0803. Is asking the people of the state to seek God's hand of mercy, healing on the state of Tennessee. This letter, signed by Tennessee State Senator Mark Pitty and Representative Monty Fritz, accompanying the resolution, invites those who are physically able and spiritually inclined to do so to join in a 30-day session of prayer and intermittent fasting for the month of July as a means of humbling ourselves to receive God's grace, mercy, and blessing in Tennessee and our nation. Quote, we are respectfully inviting you to join with us in leading the people of God across Tennessee into a time of humbling ourselves, praying, seeking God's face, and repentance. I love the fact that he said repentance during the month of July. So not only are they calling for a 30-day time of prayer and fasting, but they also threw in repentance. Now, guys, this is all 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is the blueprint. This is the prerequisite for seeing a healing of a nation, let alone a state, a nation, whatever the case would be. Remember, it says, if my people, because the people of God are the ones who are going to seek him in their faith and seek the face of God in prayer, in fasting, and repentance. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that is a term used for fasting, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's repentance. Look what it says here. Then I will hear from heaven, and then I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So guys, do I have anybody in the chat listening on YouTube tonight? Anybody on Facebook listening by Tennessee, the state of Tennessee? This is happening in your state. You guys, you need to be jumping on board with this. If I lived in the state of Tennessee, I would be all about this and be on board with this. Get the word out. If maybe everybody doesn't know about this, so you can participate in this. Now, remember, this comes on the heels of the announcement of the law that was just signed into the state of Louisiana, where in which they are requiring the Ten Commandments in all public schools in the state of Louisiana. So again, what is going on? Is this a sign that there's a trickle of awakening on the horizon? Could this be small steps towards a greater movement that could lead to a third great awakening. I'm trying to be hopeful, guys. Okay. Don't shoot me down in the chat. I know we're in the end times. I know perilous times are coming. I know the falling away is here. I know that we're on the precipice of the rise of the Antichrist and the New World Order and the global government beast system and the mark of the beast and the image of the beast. I understand all that, but I can show you in scripture, James chapter 5, Joel chapter 3, portions of Haggai, portions of Hosea, that there is, Acts chapter 2 talks about this. There is coming, in the midst of all that, there is still going to be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. There's still going to be a remnant that's praying. There's still going to be a remnant that's fasting. There's still going to be a remnant seeking the face of God. There's still going to be a remnant that believes in repentance. There's still a remnant that still believes in the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's still a remnant. And as long as there's still a remnant and there's two or more gathered in his name, he says, there I'll be in the midst. And listen, there is no, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, in the language there, it is never stated how many have to seek his face in prayer, in fasting, and turn from their ways. He just said, if my people, and if we go to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, judgment was already pronounced against the cities of the plains. So Abraham was pleading with God and saying, hey, and I'm paraphrasing this, okay? He's saying, Lord, if we can find 50 righteous, will you spare the city? And the Lord says, I will. And he knew that he couldn't find 50. So he goes to 40 and 30 and 20. We all know the story. He gets down to 10 or less. And the Lord could not spare the city because he couldn't find at least 10 righteous people in the entire populace of the cities of the plains. So the Lord says, I'm not going to spare the city because of the gross iniquity, the abominations, the wickedness, the transgressions, the things, all the things that the prophet Ezekiel points out in detail were the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. They're all there. It talks about that in the book of Ezekiel. We've covered them in another podcast. It wasn't just unnatural affections going on. Read between the lines there. That's Romans chapter 1. Okay, but it was other things too. They had fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. They refused to extend their hand to the poor. There was all these things, pride. They were full of pride. I think there was like 5 or 6 major sins that Sodom and Gomorrah had. And that when the cup of iniquity became full, God said, all right, I'm going to pour out this cup and my wrath is going to be poured out upon these cities. So they told Lot and his family, look, hurry up, get out of this place, for we can do nothing until you're out of the city. Come on, that gives me hope. That you know what that tells me? That if there's enough righteous, God-seeking, God-fearing people in your city and my city, God will withhold his judgment because we are there present. Oh, somebody needs to shout right there and give the Lord a hand clap right there. But listen, even if there's not enough, you say, well, brother, I can't shout, I can't clap, and I can't celebrate because I don't think there is that many righteous people in my city. That's okay if God has to, honey. He'll send an angel of the Lord to come and warn you beforehand to get up and get out of the city because my God is not going to judge the righteous with the wicked. Oh, you didn't hear me? Let me say it on the back row. My God is not going to pour out his wrath upon the righteous with the wicked because my Bible says he reserves his wrath for the enemies of God, and we are not enemies of the Lord. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. So let me get back to this story. This is amazing. This is awesome for the state of Tennessee. In this resolution, they have requested that this would be read during church services across the state of Tennessee on Sunday, June 30th. That is this Sunday of this broadcast. That's about 6 days from now. Here's what they want. Number one, Examine our lives in light of God's word and confess our sins. Number two, acknowledge that we as the church have failed to stand for the principles of God. Ask for his forgiveness and mercy and commit to stand firmly on those principles going forward. I love this, guys. Number three, for those who are able to join in prayer and fasting as a means of demonstration or desire for repentance. Come on, I pray that this takes off. Like if anybody who is in, if anybody's listening or you have an ear to, or you can get an ear to you that represents the state of Georgia where I live, please, please, can we get this going in the state of Georgia? Can we get this in your state? Can we get this in all, come on, the states of America? Can we get this as a, not a statewide decree, but as the nation of America? I mean, if there was ever a time, and I'm going to show you several reasons why, if there was ever a time that this needs to be proclaimed and there needs to be a proclamation like this nationwide, it's now. With everything that's looming, disasters, wars, famines, rumors of wars, nation against nation, the lawlessness, the craziness, all of the things that's going on to our nation as it is imploding, and we are becoming a byword, and that's a phrase used in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. Look it up. That's not a good thing, guys. That is, it has a very negative connotation for a nation that begins to fall from the favor of God, away from God. The resolution begins by acknowledging the many ways that the state and nation suffer from violence committed upon our citizens, by our citizens, and non-citizens. The people of Tennessee are called to repent and pray because human trafficking is an unacceptable and violent evil in our state. Enslaving lives and violating the core values of our Creator endowed rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The resolution goes on to acknowledge that drug addiction overwhelms the state of Tennessee and its families and the state's finances, especially fentanyl. Quote, we have approximately 9,000 children in need for foster care, indicating a brokenness in many Tennessee homes. The resolution continues, and corruption in our federal government stands to impact every Tennessean. So again, and you can go read all this. It's called Joint Resolution 0803. So this is profound. Again, if I was in the state of Tennessee, I'm telling you right now, I'd be all about this. I'd be on board with this. I would be locking arms with Tennessee Governor Bill Lee. And I pray that this takes off. I pray that the commandments take off. And that this is something that goes nationwide. Because, listen, I have studied Great Awakenings. I've got a whole book on this shelf, on this library, about historians that were eyewitnesses to Great Awakenings across the world. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't take this major, major event to trigger this. All it takes is small obedience. It takes a small group of men, a handful, one, two, three, five men, 10 men, and then it grows. And then it begins. It's the synergy of these people coming together with one cause and purpose, and that's to seek the face of God and turning a city or a nation back to God, and God honors that. So I just want to, this is, you know, many of us write us, they message us, and all this stuff constantly, and they say, why don't you ever give us good news? We don't want to hear, we're tired of hearing the gloom and doom and despair and this and that. Why don't you bring us good news? Well, guys, here it is. This is for you. This is good news. This is something that you can get behind and get on board with. Even if you're not a Tennessean, even if you're in a different state, who's to say, why can't you get 12 people together? Why can't you get your church? Go to your pastor and say, hey, look, look what Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee, of state of Tennessee, is doing. We have 100 people in our church, 300 people, 600 people. I don't know. I don't know what church you go to or how many people you have or what group or small group or house group or home church or whatever the case may be. Why can't you get those people? Go to your leaders, go to your pastor, go to and say, hey, I think we should get on board with this. You know what? Being that we have a large group of individuals listening right now that we reach across social media platforms, on podcasts and everything, you know what? I am calling for everyone under the sound of my voice that's watching, listening from, you know, that's viewers of End Time Headlines, our partners, everything. Let's join with Governor Bill Lee. So I'm going to join him representing the state of Georgia. You join him representing your state. And maybe you don't live in the United States. You live in a different location. Maybe you live outside of the United States. You know what? Why can't you join? Who's going to stop you from joining? So here's what we're going to do. Let's just go ahead and mark it down. We're going to do it. So the whole month of July, let's pray, fast, and seek the face of God and repentance and turn. Come on, from our sin and wicked ways, humbling ourselves before God. And let's just see what the Lord will do. Come on. Let me know in the chat if you're up for this. Again, if we can get 100, 200 people, the momentum is there. I got to move on, guys. I've got a lot to cover. I've spent 15 minutes on that one story. I want to move on to our next story. All right, this made headlines over the weekend. Former President Donald Trump tells Christians, this is why I'm talking about this today, because this is relative to us as believers. He is warning us as Christians, again, of those that are listening, that our religion will be in tatters if Biden wins the election. Quote, we answer to God in heaven. I want to read a little bit of this. And I know some of you guys are not Trump fans. Some of you guys are Trump fans. But let's hear him out here. Let's see what he says here. Former President Donald Trump told a national gathering of Christian conservative activists this past weekend not to let the secular left silence and shame them in a bid to keep them from voting, saying that Christianity would be in tatters if President Joe Biden is reelected. Now, this comes on the heels, guys. What is it? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. What 3 days from now is the first presidential debate between Biden and Trump. So this is very interesting. So that's why we're reading a little bit of this stuff. Let's see what Trump has to say here. On Saturday, Trump addressed the Faith and Freedom Coalition's road to a majority conference in Washington, D.C., encouraging attendees to do all they can do to encourage fellow Christians to vote in the upcoming November election. And he said, quote, we need Christians to turn out in the largest numbers ever to tell crooked Joe Biden, again, this is a quote, you're fired, said Trump, the 2024 presumptive Republican nominee for president. And I quote, the radical left is trying to shame Christians, silence you, demoralize you, and they want to keep you out of politics. They don't want you to vote. That's why you have to vote. If you vote, we cannot lose. They don't want you to vote, but Christians cannot afford to sit on the sidelines. If Joe Biden gets in, Christianity will not be safe in a nation with no borders, no laws, no freedom, and no future. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, whether you like the man or you don't, everything he's saying right here, I find it hard for if you're a God-fearing patriot and love your country and love God, I don't know how you could disagree with what he's saying here. I'm just saying, love him, hate him, like him, don't like him, if whatever, I can't disagree with this. Quote, after predicting that your religion certainly will be, I think, in tatters, Trump highlighted the criticism that the Trump administration had faced regarding its treatment of Catholics. He said, what's going on with Catholics? He lamented that they are being persecuted. What is that all about? He inquired before suggesting that Biden, who is a Catholic, has no idea what the blank is happening. I don't think it is him. I think it's the people that surround him, the fascists, the communists. They're young, they're smart, they're very smart, they're vicious people. Now, Trump is citing here this was a leaked FBI memo that the administration was criticized over, wherein this was last year, that warned about the connection between radical traditionalist Catholic ideology and racially or ethically motivated violent extremists. He went on to say that, quote, we do not answer to the bureaucrats in Washington, we answer to God in heaven. He goes further and says that Joe Biden is weaponizing the Justice Department to viciously persecute pro-life activists and Americans of faith. He went further. He said, never again will the federal government be used to target religious believers. He went further and said that Americans of faith are not a threat to our country. Americans of faith are the soul of our country. Guys, what do you think about this? Let me know in the comment section below. Is Trump right or is he wrong? I'd love to hear from you. And if he is wrong, then let me know why. Is he wrong because there is a motive here that you have because you don't like the man, so that's clouding your judgment? If this was not Trump saying this, and this was a whole different candidate, and I didn't tell you who the candidate was, you had no idea who he was, and I just told you his speech, would you agree with it or would you disagree with it? So it's going to be an interesting ride. It's going to be an interesting election year. Let me know in the chat. Are you voting this year? Are you going to vote? Now, you want to know my opinion? I'm going to vote. Why? Why am I going to vote? Because number one, I get the right to vote. I get to vote. I'm an American. I have a civil duty to vote. Okay? And the next thing is, for the love of God, and this may stir up some feathers, ruffle some feathers, but it's not going to be the first time nor the last time. But please, for the love of God, don't go. Don't get out of bed. Get a shower. Get dressed. Drive down to wherever you cast your ballot. Go in there and write in Jesus Christ on the ballot. Please don't do that. Spare us the time. Spare us the trouble. Don't waste your time. Waste their time. Waste everybody else's time and the nation's time. Why? Because Jesus is not running for president. So for you to write him down on the ballot is just dumb. It is dumb. Yeah, you can get mad at me. You can comment. You can unfollow, but it's stupid, guys. He's not voting. When he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's not going to be required to be voted into office. He's not going to ask for your opinion. He's coming back whether you like him, whether you don't like him, whether you're Republican, whether you're Democrat, whether you're independent, whether you're pro-life or you're pro-choice or whatever gender you say you are or whatever you identify as, it ain't going to matter because he's coming back and every eye shall see him and every knee is going to hit the earth and bow to him and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says he's not coming alone. According to the book of Jude, he's coming with 10,000s upon thousands of his saints. He's coming back with the ecclesia, the church. He's coming back with us who has been taken to heaven in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 16 and 17. When the trumpet sounds, we've been caught up to heaven with him. He says in the book of John, that he says, believe in God, believe also in me, that where I am, there you may be also. So after a period of time through the tribulation, he's going to come back and he's taking us with him and he's going to come back and split, come on, the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split into, the Bible says he's going to rule with the rod of iron for 1,000 years. I've come by to tell you today, listen, that event has not happened yet. He's not come back with his saints yet. We have not been raptured out yet. We're not in the tribulation yet. So being that we're still here and we're still citizens of a kingdom that is passing away, I have a civil right to do what I need to do because I'm not in heaven yet. I'm not ruling and reigning with him yet. I'm still here in America. You're where you are. And as citizens, I don't want to be under a tyrannical government. I believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. I know, crazy, isn't it? I still believe in prayer. I still believe in faith. I still believe in Bible reading. I believe in the commandments. I believe in fasting, repentance, and I believe in there's one way to heaven. And come on, and it's through Jesus Christ. Call that old-fashioned, call that outdated, call that whatever you want to call it, but I'm just letting you know I'm come by today to tell you. So listen, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. And we got to move on. We've got a lot more to cover today in our program. Now let's get into the prophecy aspect of this. After all, this is news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, right? So let's go to, I want to go over here to 2 Peter chapter 3. Well, let's start at verse 10. There's a reason why I'm going to read this scripture today, okay? 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away. And I've highlighted some stuff here for you guys that are watching the visual of this, you guys that are listening by Apple, by Spotify. I'll tell you what I've highlighted. Let me read it again. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Somebody say fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Somebody say burned up. There's a reason why I'm telling you this. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved. Look at this, being on fire. Somebody say on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Somebody say melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So notice in from verse 10 all the way down to verse 13 of 2 Peter chapter 3, the author uses fervent heat, burned up, being on fire, and melt with fervent heat. How many believes, based on this scripture, that the current earth, the heavens and the earth that we currently abide in, is going to be, now I'm going to use a word here, it's called renovated. And this is what, when you look in the Greek of this passage, this is what this talk about. The current heaven and earth is going to be renovated by fire. And it uses burned up, fervent heat, melted, dissolved, all that's here. Now here's why this is important. Based on what Peter told us, now that sounds like very like wow, Brother Ricky, that's some really bad news. Yes, but the good news, friend, is if you've ever done a renovation project, the worst part is the process. Come on, somebody. Do I got any homeowners that will give me an amen in the chat? If you've ever done a renovation process, have you ever restored a car? Come on. The process. You've got the beginning, the middle, and the end. The beginning, you looked at the product. You look at the home. You look at the car. You look at whatever it is that you're trying to renovate. And you have a visual eye for this. You have a dream. You have a vision. The end game of this, the finished product, is in your visual eye. And you're like, man, I know this car looks really bad right now, but if you could see what I see, yes, it's going to cost money to invest in this. Yes, it's going to cost a lot of elbow grease. I'm going to have to put a lot of work in it, blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of time in this, a lot of effort in this, I'm going to require some help in this and support in this. But if we can get through the process and get to the end of this thing, it's all going to be worth it, and it's going to look brand new. Now, here's the key thing about renovating with a house, a car. All of the main components remain. In a home, you don't rip out the whole foundation. Well, I'd hope not. Most of the time, you don't rip the entire foundation out. You leave the foundation as it is, but you renovate the structure of the home. Come on, a bathroom project. You rip out the floor. You repaint the walls. You put a new sink in. You put this in this. And then you, after the finished product is done, you look back and you celebrate the new. This is what this is. So when you read this in 2 Peter chapter 3, when the Lord says the heavens and the earth shall be renovated, they'll be burned up and dissolved by fervent heat. This is the renovation process, but the good news is at the end of it, there's coming a new heaven and a new earth. And if you go to the book of Revelation, my friend, it tells you in detail, this new heaven and new earth is going to be glorious. There's not going to be, come on, every tear shall be wiped away. There'll be no more pain, no more anguish, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more sin. Come on, no more devil in hell. In Jesus' name, Jesus is going to be ruling it. He's going to be reigning it. And we're coming back as kings and priests. Come on, in the new heaven and a new earth. So having said that, I think it would imply to us, because we could sit around and we could say, well, how's this going to happen? Is the earth just going to Is it going to be a spontaneous human combustion? Is the earth just going to just burst into flames in the heavens? And I don't believe that's going to happen. I believe there is going to be a process of different events that will lead to this renovation. For example, wars, whether it be conventional wars, nuclear wars, that could play a role in producing what we read about that the author talks about: fervent heat, burning up, being on fire, dissolving. You know what else can do this? Wildfires. Have you noticed how the wildfires are expanding? They're enlarging, they're increasing. And we're talking about millions and hundreds of millions of acres being charred and burned up completely. Then you have to ask yourself, when you see a headline like this, quote, world breaks 1400 temperature records in a week. Let me say that again. In 1 week, we have shattered 1400 temperature records from a deadly heat wave, or not just one heat wave, but multiple heat waves have swept the globe. So these deadly extreme heat waves are sweeping the globe. There was in one location alone in Saudi Arabia, where they do the Hajj pilgrimage once a year, over 1,300. Now, I don't know if that number could have risen by now, but over 1,000 people have died just there in Saudi Arabia alone, in Mecca. Over 100 million people have been put under a heat advisory in the United States alone. In India, the exact death toll is not yet known, but at least hundreds have already perished in India, where we've seen some of the most extreme temperatures. Now, these experts on the CC word here, we already know what this is, the last word change, okay? These so-called experts are telling us that this is just a glimpse of what's to come. And they're saying that because of this, we will continue to see an amplification of extreme weather. Now, think about what we're on the brink of heading into hurricane season, and they've been giving us ominous forecasts and warnings about what's coming in hurricane season. Quote, it should be obvious that dangerous CC is already upon us. A climate scientist told the Washington Post that, quote, people will die because of global warming on this very day. So again, guys, please don't shoot the messenger. I'm just relaying. I don't care. You know, it doesn't really matter what your stance is, because we could get all political about this. Do you believe in CC? Do you believe in global warming? Do you believe? I'm not going to get into that argument. What I'm saying is, whether you believe it or whether you don't, something's going to happen, friend, that has got to get us to the fulfillment of that 2 Peter chapter 3 event. And not just that event, but I can also show you in the Bible, in Revelation 16. In Revelation 16, it says that men will be scorched with great heat. Now, you want to know how that's going to happen? Let me pull this scripture up. I'm just going to give you this scripture. You can do what you want with it. It says a fourth angel will pour out his bowl upon the sun, and power will be given to him to scorch men with fire, and they will be scorched with great heat. And during this process, look what it says here. They will blaspheme the name of God in heaven while this is taking place. Now, let's shift gears here and let's talk about the economy for a second. This was very, like, shocking to me when I read this. I'm going to read this. Quote, this is from Fortune. Say goodbye to the 20% down payment. Zillow says you'll need to put down roughly 35% or almost $128,000 to afford a typical home. Now, what does that look like? You may listen to this. I'm going to read this. You might be in for a rude awakening if you think the 20% down payment is going to be the standard, for this will no longer be the case. In order for most people to afford monthly payments, they're going to have to, their down payment is going to go 45% higher than before the pandemic. And mortgage payments are roughly 115% higher. Quote, down payments have always been important, but in the current market, where interest rates remain high and volatile and home values are stable or rising, boosting the amount you put down can make the difference between a home that's affordable and one that's not. This was according to Zillow's chief economist, Skylar Olson, who wrote an analysis. So let me give you, just to give you an idea of this, looking at a major metropolitan area, he discovered that home buyers earning the median income need to put down 35.4%, which equates to almost $127,750 to comfortably afford payments on the typical home in America. Comfortably, in this case, means you're spending no more than 30% of the typical income in your specific area on housing. So your mortgage payment, property taxes, and insurance. Anyone who spends more than 30% of their income on housing is considered cost burden and severely cost burden if housing takes up more than half their income. Listen to this. In Los Angeles, for one, a median income household needs to put down 81.1% or $780,203 to afford the typical home and its monthly payments. She called the percentage the highest in the nation and nearly impossible. And in San Jose, they need to put down 80.9% or more than $1.3 million. New York City, what does it look like for you guys? You need to come up with more than 60% down. In Miami, you need to come up with 64.5% down. In Seattle, a median household in Seattle making around $116,000 a year would need about $462,000 to lower the debt enough to comfortably afford the monthly payment on the typical home worth almost $753,500. It would take almost 24 years to build up that kind of savings if that household saved 10% of their income every month into a cash account earning a guaranteed 4% return. Now, guys, think of it. How sad is that? Do you have kids, grandkids? This is sad for them. I have a 16-year-old, and my youngest turns 9 tomorrow on June 25th. My youngest son, Isaac, will be 9 years of age. What does it look like for them to get a home? If the Lord tarries, and my oldest son will be the first one, do you think he's going to be, what's it going to look like for him? This is incredible, guys. The middle class is being completely squeezed out, completely eradicated. Inflation, housing costs, all this news is just horrible, absolutely horrible. And then, the retail apocalypse is not slowing pace at all. There was an article that came out that Rite Aid is set to close over 24 stores amid bankruptcy proceedings. Now, there's multi-factors in this. People buying online and no longer shopping at brick-and-mortar stores anymore. The pandemic played a role in it. You had supply chain issues. You've got all that stuff going on. But I'm going to tell you another thing that's doing it is the retail theft. The retail theft is completely out of control in America. And it's spiraling our entire nation into complete anarchy. We drove down to Columbia, Georgia, just a couple days ago. Went down there, went tubing and did some things down there. I was shocked by how many stores, retail stores, convenience stores, gas stations, everything you could think of, restaurants, they're just completely abandoned. Stores shut down, no longer existed. I mean, it looked like a ghost. There were some areas where it was completely a ghost town. It looked like a post-apocalyptic scenes. It was just unbelievable. And we've all seen these stories, these headlines, these videos of brazen shoplifters that are just unrelentlessly looting retail stores. And it's become so common, guys, that it's not even shocking to us anymore. You see videos all the time where these massive groups of shoplifters, these looters, will come into a store 20, 30 deep, 50 deep, and they'll come into an Apple store and they'll raid the entire store of phones and tablets and whatever's in there. And people, and the bystanders just sitting back and not doing nothing. The people, the security won't touch them. The owners won't touch them. People won't help them. People won't intervene. They instead, they record it with their cell phones. I mean, this is what our society has spiraled into. Even it's getting so bad that the Walmart, the CEO of Walmart, warned that it could, this, all this could lead to store closures and higher prices. And again, you've heard me say this. We have a joke down here in the South that if you see Walmart's closing down and Waffle Houses, you know the apocalypse is near, my friend. That's a joke that we have down here. Target, even Target CEO said it was costing the chain upward of $1 billion. Think about that. Home Depot's finance chief called it a, quote, consistent pressure that the chain is tackling every day. And guys, it's not just Home Depot, Walmart, and Target. We're talking about Macy's, Best Buy, Dick's Sporting Goods, TJ Maxx, Dollar General. All these are, if this continues like it is, they're going to be non-existent. It's just going to be a nostalgic thing and thought where we once had these stores and once they once existed. Revenue loss to theft has been steadily rising since 2016. And shrink is now costing our retailers more than $100 billion a year. And just to get a perspective of this, that's $100 billion a year. That's roughly about the size of Russia's entire military budget for the year 2024. In the state of New York City alone, retailers filed more than 21,000 shoplifting complaints in just in one state, in the state of New York. It's so bad that Dollar General, and we have them everywhere in the state of Georgia. I don't know about where you are, but the CEO of Dollar General recently stated that the company plans to remove self-checkout from the vast majority of stores as part of a larger overall shrink reduction effort that include changes in supply chain and merchandising. Dollar General has already removed self-checkouts from over 12,000 of its more than 20,000 stores. And they're not alone. Walmart is also removing self-checkout kiosk from many stores and the number of products that are being locked up. Think about that. How many products are you seeing locked up behind cages and glass cases and so on and so forth? Things like ordinary stuff that you would find that you would never believe would be locked up behind a case are being locked up now. All right, I'm going to give you two more headlines. I had a bunch of stuff lined up. I had more stuff, but we're running out of time. We're about almost 45 minutes into this program. So what we'll do is we'll push that out and we'll cover it in another program this week. This is what we've kind of changed our format. We're not singling. We're not focused on one subject. We're covering multiple headlines. So we'll get it in there, guys. If you guys, well, how come you didn't talk about this? Listen, if it made trending headlines on our website, then we will discuss it. I guarantee you that. Let me give you this. I thought this was interesting. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I do think it is worth noting here, and it's interesting. Here's the headline. This is from LiveScience.com. Earth's rotating inner core is starting to slow down. Now, I thought this was interesting, and it could alter the length of our days. Let me say that again. Earth's rotating inner core is beginning to slow down, and it could alter the length of our days. A new study confirms that Earth's inner core has been rotating more slowly than usual since 2010. This mysterious backtracking could also end up slightly altering the planet's overall rotation and lengthening our days. Now, this is interesting because did you know that the Bible actually says in Matthew, let me pull this up here, in Matthew 24, verses 22, let me go to verse 21 so it makes sense in context. He talks about, and then there will be great tribulation, and we're not there yet. This is future tense. Such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. Now look at verse 22. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now notice here, the Lord says, those days, when we get into the tribulation, I don't understand. Listen, you may say, well, I know how that's going to happen. Really? Nobody knows dogmatically that it's going to be this or that or this that is what this means by shortening of the days. We're simply making assumptions and hypotheses here. But I do know this, that I know that earthquakes such as the one in 2011 that rocked the nation of Japan was so powerful. And you can go look this up, read it. That it actually shortened the day, it shortened the days of the earth by eight. I can't remember how much and how much it was, but it was a fraction. It actually shortened the days. So here you have an article saying that the earth's inner core is slowing down and can lengthen our days. But then the Lord says that when we get into the tribulation, the days will be shortened, because if they were not shortened, no flesh would survive. So this is interesting to me. What does this look like? What's going to happen? How's this going to happen? I'd love to hear your thoughts in the comment section below. Now, let me get to my last story. And again, I've got some other stories I want to talk about this week, so we're going to push them out later. And listen, we do have some equipping messages. I know you guys love equipping messages. You like the information arm of our ministry, but you love the equipping, and we've got some. I've got some equipping messages. We got them on deck. And we'll talk more about, I'll give you some announcements here in just a minute when we get ready to close this program for tonight. But let me read this. Luke 21:10. Let me pull up the verse. I think it's already, it's up here on the screen. Luke 21:10. He said unto them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and pestilences. And here it is. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. I want you to say that with me. Fearful sights and great signs from heaven. And then you go over here to Luke 21:25 through 26. And there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring. And verse 26, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which were coming upon the earth. The real key here is notice in verse 26 that there will be, and I believe this is getting into, this could, some say this will be during the tribulation. Some say this leads up to the tribulation. Whatever the case may be, I believe as we get further to the fulfillment of all things, the end of the age, the return of the Son of Man, the tribulation, or in the tribulation, we can see here that there will be events that have been forecasted, predicted, and so on, that they'll be so fearful, guys, and so devastating that the Bible says that men's hearts will fail them for the expectation. They're expecting things to come on the earth that they've been told, they've been forecasted, they've been warned about, things have been spotted in the heavens by sophisticated equipment that certain organizations have. And this is what this made me think of here. I'm going to pull this up here. I'm going to show you this. Quote, look at this headline. The world will soon witness, quote, one of the rarest space events of our lives. Now think about all of the rare space events that we've seen in just 2024, let alone our lives. They're saying this is going to be one of the rarest events that you'll ever see in space in your entire life. And in the year 2024, I'm talking to you right here. I want you to think about this. We saw that rare solar eclipse in America. We saw a solar storm that was a super rare event. We saw auroras that went all the way down to the state of Florida, which, guys, I cannot stress how super rare that is. That is not normal for that to happen. That is a once-in-a-lifetime event. I am 47 years of age and never has ever seen that in my life. And I'm in the state of Georgia, and it went all the way down in the state of Florida. Then you had this devil comet that went through. That was a celestial event. And now you've got this. The earth will soon see an event first recorded in a medieval manuscript. When T. Cornora Benelis, I'm sure my son could probably pronounce this like that, but it's going to go nova. What does that mean? The decade has a few more treats installed for us and beyond, including a visit from an asteroid called Apophis. You remember that? This is named after the destroyer, the goddess of destruction, or whatever that is. This was Apophis was first discovered in 2004, and when it was discovered, it was at a level 2, with a score of 0, meaning the likelihood of an impact is 0 or thereabout, and 10, meaning a collision is certain, capable of causing global climatic catastrophe, or this would be a ELE or an extinction level event. Level 2, while low, is for objects making a somewhat close but not highly unusual pass near Earth and meriting further attention from astronomers. However, further observations in December of that year placed it up to a level 4 due to a 1.6% chance that the asteroid would hit us in 2029. Let me say that again. Apophis asteroid, 99942 Apophis is what the actual name of this is, discovered in 2004. A level 0, meaning that the likelihood of impact is nilch. It's not going to happen. We're at a level 4 with this thing in 2029, 5 years from now, when this thing comes back around. And again, the word Apophis is enough to send chills down your spine. It literally named after the ancient Egyptian god of darkness and destruction. Further observations ruled out a collision in 2029, as well as in 2036 and 2068, though they will still be close encounters. Remember, that number is still pretty high, so we don't know. And we know, according to the Bible, there is coming an asteroid called Wormwood in the tribulation that will strike the Earth. Now, let me get back to this this exploding star. According to NASA, there is an Earth-sized remnant of a dead star with a mass comparable to our sun on a star about 3,000 light years from Earth that is expected to explode at some point this summer, and it will be visible to the naked eye. Now, again, how rare is this? Something like this occurs once every 5 to 10,000 years, again, according to the so-called experts. The exact date when this will happen is unknown, although NASA continues to track it. The spectacular explosion, again, is being deemed a once-in-a-lifetime event. This will create a lot of new astronomers out there, giving young people a cosmic event that they can observe for themselves, ask questions, and collect data. Guys, again, in my opinion, this kind of event falls under the scriptures of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, when he says there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven, solar eclipses, blood moons, these crazy asteroids, solar storms, exploding stars, and near Earth collision asteroids. Are you kidding me? Guys, listen, these are all the times and seasons in which we're in. Listen, and I want to leave you. We've got some announcements. Don't go anywhere. But I want to leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, what did he say, church? He said, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Guys, if you don't have our app, please download it today. Get it on Apple. Get it on Android. Download it. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to get every headline, every podcast. It's going to be readily available right there at your fingertips. If this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, all the above, please pray about becoming a monthly partner. Help us to continue to spread the word weekly. We do these weekly podcasts to inform our readers of the signs and times in the seasons in which we're in. We also equip the church. We inform the church. We have teachings. We have all this. And you can be a part of this. You can partner with us two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website or right there on your screen. You can make out a check or money order to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. As always, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to jump on here to the broadcast. Listen, got a quick announcement. Typically, we do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, right? Monday, Tuesday, we take off Wednesday, we come on Thursday and Friday. This week, we're rearranging our schedule. We're on tonight, of course, Tomorrow we'll be off. Tuesday we'll be off this week, and we'll be on here, Lord willing, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. The reason why I'm taking off tomorrow on June 25th, it's my youngest son's birthday. He'll be 9 years of age, so we're doing a whole family thing tomorrow, so we will not be broadcasting. And so we're going to take off tomorrow on Tuesday, the 25th. We should be right back here on Wednesday, June 26th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.